The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. And on The Bigger Picture today, we are looking at a couple of headlines. You have comments by President Donald Trump saying that the US-China trade talks are going well and he expects a deal to be signed at next month's APEC meeting in Chile. Brexit also in the news, another twist with things dragging on. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson's deal has been blocked from being voted on. This was, of course, the withdrawal deal he recently agreed with Brussels. So all that in the backdrop, let's get a bigger picture from Vasu Menon. He is the Executive Director for Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Morning, Vasu. How's your week been going?
Good morning, Ryan. It's been going very well, thank you. I hope you're keeping well too.
Yes, all good here, Vasu. Okay, let's start with the main drama, and that comes from the UK on Brexit. So we were supposed to have a meaningful vote yesterday, but of course this was rejected by House Speaker John Bercow due to parliamentary convention. It's not convention to repeatedly ask the same question in parliament. So I want to get a take, Vasu. How do you see this now playing out? We are just 9 days away from the deadline.
Yeah, I think, you know, the next 3 days are going to be very important because Boris Johnson is going to make another attempt at trying to pass the withdrawal agreement bill, which he will try and do tonight. He's trying to basically package his together with the necessary legislation and to try and get it through parliament in 3 days. So the bill is 110 pages with 125 pages of explanatory notes. Very detailed, very complicated bill, which he's trying to rush through Parliament in 3 days. Essentially, this time around, the difference is that he's packaging the bill together with the necessary legislative amendments, which the MP said were lacking previously. And so the next 3 days will be important to see whether the British Parliament approves his withdrawal agreement bill and the necessary legislation, or whether they'll try and rewrite some of the legislation, or even call for a referendum, you know, of the withdrawal agreement. So things are going to play out in the next 3 days. This next 3 days are very, very important because the European Parliament sits on Thursday and they are waiting for developments in UK to play out before they vote as to whether they will give an extension. But that may not be necessary if somehow Boris Johnson pulls off his stunt and, you know, passes the withdrawal agreement bill in the next 3 days.
Hey, Vasu, so if you look at the pound over the past week, it's really been pricing in a lot of optimism. We saw it rise over 2% in the past week. Yesterday, it was at 1.29. And briefly overnight, it pushed above 1.30. Is it late for traders to jump on this trade? Or is this pretty much where it will be?
Well, you know, I think one has to be cautious. We don't know how this is going to play out. There are lots of twists and turns. There's a great deal of politics, complicated politics involved over here. I wouldn't be too gung-ho at this juncture. The reason why the pound has not fallen is because the markets are taking comfort that perhaps at least there will be no... The UK will not suffer a no-deal Brexit. They're banking on the EU giving them an extension in the worst-case scenario. So that's what's holding the pound up. And, of course, you know, hope that perhaps Johnson's bill will be approved by Parliament. Remember that what happened on Saturday was not Parliament rejecting his bill. Parliament just saying that, look, you don't have all the necessary legislation to pass the bill. You need to get that in order, which is going to try in the next 3 days. So I think all that is keeping the pound alive, but whether Johnson will be able to pull off this stunt means to be seen. And I wouldn't be too gung-ho in terms of, you know, jumping into the pound right now until I get some clarity. Mm.
We're chatting with Vasu Menon. He is the Executive Director for Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Vasu, let's turn our attention to Wall Street. So we are looking at S&P 500 hitting a one-month high, back above the 3,000 mark. How much more higher do you see this going, especially if you look at the current earnings season?
You know, it's very hard to say, but if you look at valuations on S&P 500, they're not attractive at this juncture. We're trading at, like, you know, one standard deviation above the 5-year, 7-year historical average. And that means that, you know, the valuations are no more compelling, no more very attractive, you know. So because Wall Street has done exceptionally well, the U.S. stock market has outperformed other regional markets. So I think, you know, the earnings season is not expected to be very pretty. But nevertheless, you know, it's possible that if there is a trade deal, optimism could send S&P 500 higher from here, at least in the short term. But, you know, you can't bang on the kind of gains that you've seen so far this year. Those gains were exceptional. And going forward, I think it's going to be a slower grind.
Okay, Vasu, if I take a look at what's happening in China, we got some more warning signs about how there might be a slowdown. The latest comes from home prices. That is down for a fourth month in a row, or rather slowed down for a fourth month in a row. It's the slowest in 7 months at 0.5% month on month. And this comes just a few days after we got that weak third quarter GDP growth of 6%. It's slowest in nearly three decades. What's your reading of where China is going?
Well, you know, I think data points to the fact that China is slowing down. And China is not the only country that's slowing down. I mean, I think throughout the world, most economies are slowing down. So it's not exceptional to China. Yes, the home prices came in perhaps not as strong as we would have liked it to achieve. But nevertheless, you know, I think the numbers were not all that bad. It does show that, you know, the Chinese housing market is relatively stable. I mean, it's not falling off the cliffs. Because if you look at, for example, the major first-tier cities in China, Beijing, Shanghai, Shenzhen, and Guangzhou, right? I mean, you find that actually in the month of September, prices increased 0.4%, which is 0.1 percentage points higher than the previous month. You know, and similarly for the second-tier cities, the third-tier cities, you find that actually the price increases were not all that bad. In other words, the Chinese housing market is still increasing in prices, not falling sharply. So I think the property market is not going to drag the economy down. It's really, you know, the US-China trade war, its impact on the manufacturing sector, I think that's a bigger drag. And if Donald Trump strikes a deal, decides to put off tariffs, further tariffs on China, that may provide China with some reprieve.
All right, so it looks like, you know, the US is not a great place to put your money in terms of stock markets. China's not looking too great as well. Where are you looking at right now in terms of, you know, opportunities?
Well, you know, I think we believe that even though the US stock market valuations are not very attractive, it doesn't mean that, you know, you stay out of the market completely. We believe in, you know, taking a more diversified approach towards investing in the markets. In other words, having a portfolio that comprises a mixture of equities and bonds. And I think, you know, the focus on yield currently from my own dealing with, you know, relationship managers and customers is that, you know, I think many investors, given the fact that the markets are, the prices are volatile, are now focusing on investment opportunities that give you yield.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, you know, Singapore REITs, you know, they give you yield. Stocks here, they give you yield. You know, investment opportunities, they give you yield because investors are now, at least yield is something that they can bank on. Price volatility is something that's very uncertain. So, you know, I think investments that give you yield, stable yield, I think could look attractive to many investors.
Okay, Vasu, just to wrap things up, what else is on your radar this week? We've got, you know, a couple of earnings from the big tech names, also industrial production figures. Why is that at the top of your list?
Well, you know, the key thing is clearly what's happening with Brexit. I mean, to me, that's the central focus. Looking out for further rhetoric coming out of China, especially as to whether, you know, they agree with Donald Trump that they're headed for phase one of an agreement in November. Those are the key things. I mean, of course, you've got U.S. economic data that's back in the background. But I think, you know, Brexit and the trade, U.S.-China trade situation will be the key drivers. I mean, so what happens on those fronts will be important. So in other words, politics is probably going to be more important this week than actual economic data.
Politics to watch out for this week. Vasu Menon, Executive Director for Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Vasu, thank you so much for your time this morning. Have a great week ahead.
You too, Ryan. Thanks for having me on the show.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.